Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? It is a question that I think almost is universally asked, that people throughout the world, throughout any sorts of religion, often wonder to themselves, what must I do to be saved? How can I be saved? How can I be saved out of the murk, out of the filth that I find myself in? So many different religions have been founded on trying to answer that exact question. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And almost universally, there is so many religions out there that will give you a path to earn your own salvation. But Christianity tells you about the one who has secured salvation for you. That is what separates our religion from all other religions. Not only do we have the truth that is Jesus Christ, the truth that this is the only hope of salvation, but we point to him alone as the reason any of us can be saved. You will not hear me very often stand in this pulpit and give praise to a former pope of the Roman Catholic Church. And yet, as the Lutheran Church celebrates St. Gregory the Great today, that's right, we actually have a former pope on our sanctoral calendar, but I will also tell you that he was born in the year 540, so it was before a lot of the abuses crept in that we had to deal with in the 16th century. But Pope Gregory the Great was a man who chose to serve the Lord. He was a man who, as Bishop of Rome, sold all of his own things to try to help the poor. He is a man who saw the tribes that had come from Britain and sent missionaries to go and tell them about Jesus. He is a man who so deeply loved the liturgy, loved the chanting of the liturgy, the ancient songs of the church, that we still refer to one of those chants by his name, Gregorian. He is a man who set the church year in many different ways. He is a man who loved Jesus. And that is vastly different than many of the popes that would follow him. Gregory the Great was the last of the four fathers of the Western Church, the great ones, the ones who very clearly proclaimed Jesus Christ, the ones who preached Christ and him crucified. Along with Saints Ambrose, Augustine, and Jerome, Gregory pointed us back to Jesus. Gregory also wrote a hymn that we will sing to close our service today. Yes, there is a hymn in our hymnal written by a former pope. And I know that that might be challenging, but once again, I want to remind you that well before these things crept in, these abuses, there were faithful men who preached Christ and who loved Jesus more than anything else. Gregory was not saved because he was pope. Gregory was not saved because he was the Bishop of Rome. Gregory was saved because he believed that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. It's very different from many of the popes, including at Luther's time, who believed that you could buy your way out of purgatory and into heaven. That believe that in order to pay back debts, we will invent this indulgence in order to pay back this loan that we had taken out. Yes, they built a beautiful church, but at the cost of how many souls? Souls that were conflicted. Souls that were told that if they paid enough money, if they prayed hard enough, their dead loved ones could finally be in heaven. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gregory confessed that gospel. Gregory confessed that Jesus is the one who has mercy. Gregory confessed that he is a poor, miserable sinner just like you and me. And that Jesus is his only hope. Our text is a text that is known throughout the world. It is the story, the parable, of the Good Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews did not get along. Yes, they had a shared ancestry, but far, far before the Jews had fallen, the northern tribes had fallen, and they became one with the tribes around them. They began to worship false gods around them. They had gotten rid of the majority of the Old Testament scriptures. No, they did not get along. And yet this Jew was beaten, robbed, and left half dead on the side of the road. Jesus says, there was a priest who walked past. A priest who saw this man lying broken on his way. And what does he do? He passes by on the other side. Another Jew, a Levite, a man of God once again, sees him, goes to look, and then passes by on the other side. But the one who stops is one of those filthy Samaritans. One of those people that we don't like because we are Jews. They don't like us either. This is bigger than where you come from. Mercy is universal because Jesus Christ has put it into each of us. Our Father has created us to be merciful to one another. It is the Samaritan, the one who was despised, who sees this man broken, lying almost dead on the side of the road, and even though he's a Jew, the Samaritan stops to be of aid. And much more than aid, he goes above and beyond the call of duty. This Samaritan sees this man and binds his wounds. He pours on him oil and wine. He gives him these medicines that are meant to heal. But even more than that, he puts the man on his own beast, walks alongside him, and takes him to an inn. And then he pays the innkeeper. He pays him 2 full days' wages just to care for a man that he had never met in his life. A man who on any other day would hate him just because of who he is. And the man says, here are 2 days' worth of wages. Care for him, I will be back, and anything else that is owed, I will pay the full price for it. That is mercy. He didn't have to do this, and yet he does it because he loves. He does it because he is an example of Jesus. You see, we are very much that broken man lying half dead on the side of the road. And even more than half dead, we are fully dead because of our sins, because of our trespasses. We cannot move toward Jesus. That is our state as sinful, fallen human beings because of Adam. That is our state. And if you do not believe me, hear these words from St. Paul in Ephesians 2. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Our default because of sin, our default because we have inherited that all the way from Adam, in conception, we are in sin. We are born in sin. And because we are born in sin, we are born in death. we are blind. We are enemies of God apart from him. But God, St. Paul writes, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I must fulfill the law perfectly. But I can't, because I am a sinner. What must you do to inherit eternal life for yourself? You must follow the law perfectly. But you can't, because you are a sinner. By grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Apart from Jesus Christ, we cannot have hope of salvation. Our world is living through that right now. Our world has rejected its only hope of salvation, and it is living exactly as St. Paul says, in its own wretchedness, in its own lusts. They so desperately need to hear about this Jesus. Because this Jesus is their only hope, their only chance at salvation. They can't earn salvation. They can't earn the forgiveness of sins. They cannot buy their way into heaven. And neither can we. But thanks be to God, he paid even more than two full days of wages. He paid the full price. That is what paying the full price looks like. You see your God hanging dead on the tree of the cross. That is the full price for our sins. And Jesus Christ, the Good Samaritan, the one who is merciful, paid it because he loves you. That is mercy. That is what Jesus says that we should look upon to be saved. That is how you inherit eternal life, by faith in Jesus Christ, by being washed in the waters of holy baptism, that is, the pouring out of his blood into the font, by receiving the body and blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross to forgive us our sins, by hearing the words of holy absolution. You cannot save yourselves, but thanks be to God, Jesus has done it for us. The man goes away saddened that day because he realizes that he has not earned salvation for himself. He was right to know the law because at that time that's what lawyers did. Lawyers knew the law. They knew how to debate the law. They knew exactly what was written in it. You must love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your whole being, and love your neighbor as yourself. But we can't. But Jesus did. And he loves you with that same love. The law, works, indulgences, these do not save. But by grace, you have been saved. By grace, the Holy Spirit has worked new life in you, that now, as a part of his workmanship, you may live and do those good works that God has created for you. What must I do to inherit eternal life? There is nothing that I, of my own being, can do, but by faith in Jesus Christ alone. The church sings the words of St. Gregory, Father, we praise thee, now the night is over. Active and watchful stand we all before thee. Singing we offer, prayer and meditation, thus we adore thee. Monarch of all things, fit us for thy mansions. Banish our weakness, health and wholeness sending. Bring us to heaven, where thy saints united, joy without end. All holy Father, Son, and equal Spirit, Trinity blessed, send us thy salvation. Thine is the glory, gleaming and resounding, through all creation. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.